to fight back. That's why we have to know the law. That's why we can't allow these poll watchers he's talking about sending in to question people, to intimidate us. That's why we can't let precincts close. That's why people have to engage early voting. That's why we need to know our legal rights. And that's one of the things tonight. We have two law firms that have fought for against voter suppression. Forward Justice, led by attorney Caitlin Swain, and the NAACP Legal Defense Fund, led by Sherilyn Eiffel. They're going to be laying out what your power is to protect your vote. And we have to stay in and be steadfast, because nobody would be fighting this hard to keep people from voting if it was not rooted in fear.
Finally, Reverend Barber, we just have 20 seconds. Tomorrow, Tuesday, September 15th, it's the 57th anniversary of the bombing of the Birmingham church that killed the four little girls in 1963. In these last 20 seconds, your thoughts on what we should know today.
We'll be there, Richard Trumpkin and I, with the AFL-CIO and myself and the pastor, laying a wreath and then speaking to the nation that just like labor and faith came together in Birmingham to transform the nation, even after their deaths and before, we have to do the same thing today. Tune in at 11 o'clock Central, 12 o'clock Eastern. We have a message to the nation calling everybody to join together to fight against regressivism and racism and stand up for life.
And that's poorpeoplescampaign.org. Reverend Dr. William Barber, I want to thank you so much for being with us. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming online at kboo.fm.
This is KBOO Portland. It's 8 a.m. It's Monday. It's time for more talk radio with your hosts, Cecil and Celeste. Stay tuned to your community connection. Cecil and Celeste, take it away.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to your community connection, KBOO Portland. 90.7 here in the metropolitan area, 91.9 in Hood River, Oregon, White Salmon, Washington, Philomath, Oregon, Corvallis, Oregon, 104.3, the world at wide. That would be KBOO.FM. This is More Talk Radio with Cecil Prescott and myself, Celeste Carey. Good morning. And it is morning. I don't care what you see outside your window. It's morning. And it's Monday, meaning we made it out of at least one more day of the apocalypse.
One more day out there.
Yeah, one more day past the apocalypse. I don't know what else to say. That's where I am. And you know, we had shared the conversation, Cecil and I, about what in the world could we talk about and what have you, and our characterization of the situation is what did you say, Cecil? What could we talk about out of the 9 or 10 plagues that are that are assailing us right now? Is that what you had said?
Yeah. What's the next plague? It's amazing. You know, I thought it was curious that who would have thought that the year 2020 might have been characterized by, for example, masks. You know, first from COVID, then from tear gas, and now from wildfires. Wow.
Hey, here's the thing. Who would have thought that Black people would be fussed at if they didn't wear a mask? I mean, you know, life is bad enough for us when you can't even go to sleep in your own bed and not get killed. you know. Right. But to be told you can't come in here unless you have a mask, that's a whole new kind of terror. And
yeah.
And you know, hey, a whole new kind of terror. And speaking of terror, I'm kind of going to weave a different type of narrative today, because I told Cecil, look, there's too much going on. Like you said, I don't feel like talking about the plagues of Egypt, you know, because, well, for one thing, I was in Oregon City. I'm now, prior to last fall, I had been living in Oregon City for, I think, 3 years, almost 3 years. I had to go back. Not only did I have stuff there, but I had friends there. And so I went back offering to move and to help.
Wow.
Because this is somebody who, you know, had done a very profound favor for me, one of my friends and former coworkers. And so I'm back to kind of help out. And people have heard me talk about Oregon City. One of the things that I was a little anxious about when I did move into Oregon City, I think it was 2017, was that, well, Oregon is not known to be hospitable to people of color, and especially Black folks. And here I was going. Yeah, I know. Did you know that? I didn't know that when I moved here. I found out shortly thereafter. But, you know, to move to Oregon City and Clackamas, I was a little anxious because I didn't know what kind of reception I got, because, you know, I noticed in Portland, it could be pretty rough sometimes. I have to say that the 3 years I was in Oregon City was a lot calmer, and people treated me a lot better than I expected, and in many ways better than I would be treated in Portland. That was a shock. And it endeared Oregon City to me in lots of ways. There were a lot of places when I'd walk into and I was, you know, just treated amicably. And that does a human being good, you know, not to have to engage in the fight or flight response but every other encounter, or every encounter sometimes. And so, you know, I had a lot of emotional attachment. I have a lot of emotional attachment to Oregon City, and have been very thankful for the, you know, the kindness and hospitality I received there. So of course I'm going to run back and try to help. And you know, it was the nightmare experience you've seen on TV. I mean, just pure and simple. Cars were lined up on roads. I heard people talking at a couple of businesses about how it took them an hour to get a couple of miles, and how frightened and anxious everyone was about not only the encroaching fire and smoke and you know, expected damage, but also a fear, you know, of people coming in and looting and stealing, you know, their belongings. Because, well, I know it's a surprise to some people, but, you know, there's some bad folks out there. Anyway, you know, as I was recovering from the smoke, because I had smoke inhalation really bad, and I was, it took me, well, I'm still not quite over it, but it took me the better part of 2.5 days to kind of recover. One of the things I did was watch this show on television, and it's called Lovecraft Country, and it stars an ensemble cast of Black American performers, actors, and I could not resist it. I'm not necessarily a horror genre person, but I read lots of Lovecraft as a kid. Okay, now, I know some people are wondering, how'd you turn out so nice? Well, okay, thank you, Lord. But anyway, the point is, I love some of Lovecraft, even though he had no love for Black folks. As a matter of fact, he wrote a poem that, Well, let's just say the name of the poem. You think I should say the whole name, Cecil?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Well, yeah, I guess I would, because I would say James Baldwin's, you know, movie, I Am Not Your Negro. So the name of the poem that H.P. Lovecraft was a pejorative characterization of black folks, and it was called The Creation of the Nigger. So that just lets you know how much he didn't like black folk. And for his books to be so... so much of the American tapestry is frustrating, but it was more than a tapestry of the American experience. It also was part of the science fiction award. I can't remember exactly the organization that gave the award, but a bust of H.P. Lovecraft was the award, and then this African woman won a few years ago, and so you can imagine the chagrin on faces when they're given this black African woman a bust of this racist, this virulent racist, as an award for her exemplary work. I mean, you know, that's human life at its most agonizing and ironic. I'm just looking at this and I'm going, yeah, right. You couldn't make this up. But in watching it and looking at the terrors that this black trio and their friends endured of not only Jim Crow monsters, you know, white supremacists, but of real monsters, I thought about how there was a couple of times when they had to just stare down this horror and just say, no. You know, no, indeed. I'm not going to be beaten by this. And it made me look at coming and doing the show in a whole different way. So I also kind of juxtaposed that with some of the humorous headlines I was seeing in my news feed, where people were doing things that were funny to lighten, you know, a mood. And they went viral so quickly because people do need a laugh. People need to lighten up. The spirit needs to be unburdened so we can collectively rise against and apart from these challenges. And so I said, hey, how about we do this? Okay. How about we take this situation and put a spin on it? So I hope that I will get some participants. And I hope we will get some real chuckles, or at least something to give our mind a chance to work out a different kind of problem or challenge. And it goes like this. This is how I go. Take these situations that we're in and take your best imagination and make a either prediction of what should come next, some humorous or science fiction based or fantasy based next thing that should happen in this, as Cecil called it, 9 to 10, you know, types of the plague that we're experiencing. Or you could you know, kind of do like a little list or something of what's going on, but use your humor. Now, those of us that have worked in the medical field, especially when I was a student, I was exposed to what people call gallows humor. Y'all know what that is. That's when you're in a murky or bad or just plain, you know, evil situation, and you make the best of it. You make jokes of it. Some people are horrified by that, but it's a coping mechanism that we human beings use. And, you know, as a nurse, I heard some things that would probably make some people cringe, but many of us as nurses or first responders, like firefighters or police or whatever, you know, emergency room, whatever, we have the jokes that help us cope. And so, you know, you could take the situation and make, like, some wry observations of it. And I have an example here. I don't know if you remember me sending you this text, Cecil. I sent this text, let's see, what date was it? It was, I sent it, it looks like the 31st of May. So I got a little picture of this little cute black angel baby sitting here, you know, with a flower in his hand, and it says, okay, let's see. And then I launch into this list. Stupid, corrupt leaders, check. Plague, check. Pandemic, check. Dropped my ice cream, check. Oceans rising, check. My favorite show canceled, check. Weather runs amok, check. Bees dying, check. Economic ruin, check. Street riots, check. Curfew, check. Martial law, no election. No more beer, mark of the beast. Oh Lord Jesus, I'm so ready, let's go. Beam me up. That was the text I sent a bunch of my friends. And wow. So you know, and you know, okay, everybody having different faith system notwithstanding, you know, that hey, I'm just saying, you know, everybody will have their different versions, I'm sure, so please don't be offended, you know, that I came from that perspective. I just that was my reality, that's where I was, that was me trying to cope with the fact that all of this right now is some purr madness. Yes, I said purr. Mm-hmm. Y'all know the word purr. Don't do that. Come on now. And so the thing is that I just decided, you know, I'm just going to make a joke about this. And you've probably heard about some of the things that are going on. You know, everybody has a little joke. And, you know, I'm at Safeway and the checker and I get to laughing and joking, and I'm cracking jokes because they have hard work and I'm trying to make them laugh. And she says, I know, I'm just waiting on the Willamette River to start running blood, you know. And then I'm talking to, you know, a coworker, and they go, I know, I'm just waiting on the aliens to land in Pioneer Square. And then I'm talking to my brother, and he says, I know, the asteroid to hit us. I said, well, you know, there's supposed to be one on November 3rd. He says, no, I'm talking about really hit us. That one's just going to come by us really close. And the whole point is that this is one of the ways you kind of face things that you have no control over. And humans are notorious for not liking not liking no control. We don't like to not be in control, even though we don't control squat. That's what we believe. We should control things. So I'm asking folks who feel that keen sense of irony, they have a wry sense of humor, you know, W-R-Y, or dry. They can get the humor of the moment. They've indulged in a little light gallows humor, to kind of join me and, you know, shout down the darkness, shout down the scary elements by making light of it. Anyway, this is More Talk Radio on your community connection, KBOO Portland. And the phone number is 503-231-8187. Now, if you're not the best at making jokes and stuff or spinning a fantasy story real good, then what I would ask you to do is you can call and share something wonderful or connective or funny that you've experienced in this, you know, weird 2020. And, you know, just try to help us all push back this darkness and make light of the situation. So what's been some of your observations, Cecil?
Well, some of my observations. Well, you know, humor is a challenging thing. And, you know, one person's humor is another person. No, really. On a little bit on the opposite, you know, side of things, not so much humorous, but but also in terms of how people deal with the multiple crises we are in. And, you know, in addition to humor, I get hope and inspiration by all that people are doing in terms of reaching out towards one another, as you began sharing this morning, helping a friend of yours in Oregon City. So those are things, you know, ways in which we can take that which we have and alter it by not falling into that the depth of whatever, and rather using what we have and transforming it. So humor, showing ways in which people are inspiring and doing great things. So give us a call and share your thoughts. You know, if you were the director of this movie, what would be the next that you would render into our world, into our communities? Our numbers here again are 503-231-8187, and we will receive your message and your calls and your humor. We'll laugh. I'll laugh
for sure, you know. Uh-huh. and make a joke with you. That's you know, because I mean, again, this is one of the ways we kind of deal with issues. It's not the exclusive way we deal with issues, but it is a helpful way. It is a helpful way. So besides that text that I sent, one of the things that I looked at was the fact that people around the country are just trying to find different ways to make a joke. A woman had sent in to her Facebook group a picture of her husband driving as they were headed on a vacation just recently, and he looked like he was driving while he was asleep. And so mm-hmm. she thought to make a big joke out of, she took a picture, sent it to her Facebook friends and said, my husband looks like he's asleep driving, and why don't you take this picture and Photoshop something funny, something lightweight in here, you know, something humorous. So she was sitting there looking at some of the pictures that her friend sent back, and they were so funny she started laughing, and she decided to share them with her husband, and he got a kick out of them too. Little did she know that people as far away as Australia and New Zealand commented on it and sent some of the craziest backdrops for the picture. They had Photoshopped people looking in the window in swimsuits, spaceships coming down. You could see in the window. You could see some animals peeking in the window. All of this, why it looked like he was driving, just kind of laid back and asleep. And a lot of people mm-hmm. were so thankful that she posed that opportunity for them to have some fun, because everything has been so dismal. And mm-hmm. it is strange right now. I mean, it doesn't matter what area you're looking at, whether it be politics or health or the movies or whatever, there's something strange going on. People are still getting shot or tased, or you know, elements of the economy tanking, people going through health crises. We're wondering if Trump is going to leave office or not. So, you know, that would be one of those episodes like, you know, Lovecraft Country, where I would say, okay, so you don't want to leave office. All right. So a bunch of folks get together, like in Reanimator fashion, and they bring all these statues of all of these really racist leaders that we've been celebrating that got knocked down. And just like they did with the Stay Puft guy and the Ghostbusters, they bring these statues to life, and these statues are all penitent and remorseful for everything they've done wrong. And so you got all these living statues to go march on Trump and remove him bodily from the White House, and he's all freaked out because he says, but I voted for you guys to stay up. I tried to throw those people into jail for being, you know, bad people when they tore you down. And the statues are saying, you know, everybody's got to make amends. And so they march Trump out, and some big hole opens up in Stone Mountain in Georgia, and the repentant statues drag Trump into the depths of Stone Mountain. So that's a version that I made up, and I just made that one up.
Great. So who are you going to call Trump busters? Janet Gibson, a professor of cognitive psychology, has written that humor is observed in all cultures and at all ages, but only in recent decades have experimental psychology respected it as an essential fundamental human behavior. Historically, psychologists frame humor negatively, suggesting it demonstrates superiority, vulgarity, Freudian id conflict, or defense mechanism to hide one's true feeling. In this view, an individual use humor to demean or disparage others or to inflate one's own self-worth. As such, it was treated as an undesirable behavior to be avoided, and psychologists tended to ignore it as worthy of study. But research on humor has come into the sunlight of late, with humor now viewed as a character strength. Positive psychology, she writes, a field that examines what people do well, notes that humor can be used to make others feel good, to gain intimacy, or to help buffer stress. Along with gratitude, hope, and spirituality, a sense of humor belongs to the set of strength positive psychologists call transcendence. Together, they help us forge connections to the world and provide meaning to life. Appreciation of humor correlates with other strengths too, such as wisdom and love of learning. And humor activities or exercises result in increased feelings of emotional well-being and optimism. She continues on from that. So therefore, you know, if I only knew decades ago when my parents wondered why I bought Mad Magazine and Crack Magazine, it's for my mental health.
Well, you get no argument from me on that one. Yes, Sonia?
I think Brian has something to share.
Okay, thank you. Good morning. Good morning,
Brian. Go ahead, Brian. You're live.
Oh, hi. Am I on now?
You are.
Yes, you are.
Okay, yeah, Cecil just mentioned Mad Magazine. God, I loved Mad Magazine when I was a kid. I would just have tears running out of my eyes. But one of the main things I want to do is promote, you know, speaking of humor, there's been a cartoonist for years that just always hits the spot for me politically. He used to be, I think, in the Willamette Week, but then that stopped, and he started his own subscription thing. You can get it online, and it's called, his name is Tom Tomorrow, and his cartoon is called This Modern World, and you can subscribe, and we do, and every week he sends his latest. We get it online, we get it on the computer, and he just hits the nail on the head every time as far as his analysis of what's going on and just bringing out the absurdity of things, although he also includes some comments of his, you know, some commentary, and like this week he's talking about how it's getting harder and harder every week to extract ostensibly humorous commentary from an out of control world. But anyway, Tom Tomorrow, This Modern World, and it's a great way to support him. This is how he supports himself, and I just really recommend that. The other comment that I wanted to make was, sometimes the thing that annoys me, or more than annoys me, is when people use humor aggressively. You know, you I'm sure you know that situation where somebody makes a really offensive joke and then goes, "Oh, come on, lighten up, Francis." You know, so that's just one of my quick comments. And then my last thing was, I had a little image in my mind yesterday that made me laugh and made me feel good, and that was we got a thing from Donald Trump that was they were saying, you know, should Donald Trump get the Nobel Peace Prize? And of course, you know, oh my God! But I started thinking, how great would it be if they awarded him the Peace Prize, and then when he went to accept it, as he reaches out for the prize, they pull the prize back and put some handcuffs on and take him away. I just love that little mental image.
Oh, that's God. Hilarious. That's hilarious. You know, I used to read Tom Tomorrow a lot in the Willy Week. I remember the penguin with what I call the Venetian blind X-ray glasses.
Yes.
I can't remember what his name is, but he was one of the commentators of how absurd life is.
Right, right, yeah. Well, I would really recommend people getting it. It's really a bright spot in the week just to see things so well framed. I mean, he just does such a good job of bringing out the absurdity and helps me.
Well, thanks. Thanks for the tip and the reminder.
Yep, thank you.
Thank you so much, Brian. For others, give us a call at 503-231-8187. And his observation about the president and receiving the Nobel Prize, certainly I think Mr. Trump is so full of himself that might be a way to get him out of the White House come January. You might tempt him by saying, "We will make you the Grand Duke of such and such," and as he comes out, we've just put the handcuffs on him. Something like that. You're listening to More Talk Radio here on KBOO FM, and I want to remind all of you that community radio is so important for all of us, and that it is a way in which we remain connected. And during this fall season, we would like to encourage you by either becoming a member or increasing your membership here at KBOO. And you can do that very, very easy. We're unable to take phone calls, but you can certainly communicate with us online by going to our website and going to, what's the website address?
KBOO.fm/give. That's right. When you go to our website, you can either be greeted by the pop-up that lets you know that you're on the website and asking you immediately if you want to give and what amount, or you can just click continue to website and look at the show that you might want to, you know, recommend or celebrate, and then click the opportunity to give and support KBOO. And one of the things we're doing this drive that's different is we want to raise our members as well. You know, we call this a membership drive. And I know for some people it's like, membership? What do you mean? Well, look at it this way. When you say membership for KBOO, is a committed donor, you know, somebody who has maybe wants to commit at least to a year. You give monthly so that we have a dependable stream of income coming in. And so we want to get at the very minimum, 250 new members. Now, that means if you've already become a member of KBOO and say you've increased your membership donation, then get somebody else to become a member. Encourage them to support KBOO.
Excellent, excellent. And one person who supports KBOO, I hope, is on the line. So, Tim, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Tim.
Hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, good. Hey, I just want to say I appreciate everything you guys are doing, and especially love KBOO. And I just calling because I wanted to make one thing clear. In my own head. And, excuse me, that was in the beginning of the program you had said, well, we survived another day of the apocalypse. You were just kidding, right?
Well, that depends. I mean, if what I said concerns you, let's unpack that. So,
okay.
You know, as far as our recent experience, for many people, this is an apocalyptic experience because they've never gone through anything really bad. Now, I'm not old enough to have gone through the Depression, but, you know, because my mom and my dad did, I heard lots of stories, and there were a lot of family practices based on the survival and wisdom of Waste Not, Want Not that came out of the Depression. So, you
right.
know, I understand that. And then, you know, there was the bomb scare that happened in the 50s. So I understand that. But a lot of younger people, their ideas of normalcy is different from mine. So they're looking at this and they're going, what the heck is happening? And it's like, I just jokingly say, it's the apocalypse. You know,
well,
this is my
concern. In my mind, it sounds like we might be around the same ages. I'm in my 60s.
Uh-huh.
And you know, I got brought up religious too. I was going to be a minister until I became agnostic. But anyways, I'm not a member right now because I got disabled, my income got slashed, blah, blah, blah. And but I had been a member for many, many years of KBOO and a supporter. And I'm really committed to the idea of a progressive radio station. And in my mind, religion, organized religion, has just been an impediment to human justice. And progress and stuff like that. So when I hear things on KBOO referring to religion, I worry. I worry that I don't want my radio station, I know it's not just mine, but I don't want my radio station broadcasting religious propaganda and myths and lies to people. That's not the way to give us hope. We need to find hope in each other and in ourselves. And I mean, I
well,
understand.
if you heard me at the beginning, one of the things I said is I understand everybody has different worldviews and faith beliefs. So with that in mind, you know, I'm not calling anybody's faith belief or worldview myths and lies, and I would hope I would be accorded that same courtesy. And you know, but I'm just saying that, you know, I recognize that everybody has a different idea about what is going on, and to call something apocalyptic is not the sole province of Christianity. You know, there are a lot of different faith or even agnostic attitudes, which include what people may just generically call a reset.
I agree with you there, but I would say that in many, many people's minds, when you say apocalyptic, people think of the Bible and the apocalypse.
I'm going to say something else, and I hope this doesn't frighten you. KBOO has people of all different faiths in it, from Buddhists and Baha'i to Zoroastrian. Okay, we get along together, and I just want to say, look at it with a broader perspective of acceptance and tolerance and recognize the message that I'm trying to offer, which is we all can make light of this and rise above this challenge. And I'm calling for us to look for whatever it takes to support each other and make light of this situation, both in an allegorical and a literal sense. You know, I started out the story talking about just plain old helping people, and so I'm even looking for that. So
I appreciate. I support you 100% there, sister, and I agree with you there. I'm just afraid that many people, not all people, probably not you, but I think that too many people are going to get scared and terrified, and they're going to grab onto this non-existent God thing. And
well, that's your opinion. Now, remember, that's your opinion, remember?
So I like to step in at some point.
Yes.
Some thoughts. Apocalyptic is simply an adjective.
Right.
It's a Greek term that developed in ancient times. It's not limited to one world view. Greek and Jewish and Christians, and it's a description of the end of the world. So by using that term, one is using a term that is used to mean the end of the world. It's not limited to one particular viewpoint. In addition to, I think, so period, then also in terms of Tim's, I think, previous comment or his opening comment in terms of concern about the role of religion and particular religions and not wanting the station to propagate a particular worldview, then I would say part of the challenge of being and I'm unsure whether you said you are atheist or agnostic, but especially if you're agnostic, is to not know and be able to see that all systems are a mixture of good and bad, and even using those terms might be thought of as projecting a worldview, a moral in terms of morality. And lastly, I would think in terms of not wanting your station to propagate a particular worldview, just before we aired, Democracy Now! Was on, and on it, the host was interviewing the Reverend William Barber, who is one of the leaders of the Poor People's Campaign, which is a mass movement of poor people of every stripe that's challenging the social and economic system in the United States right now. And if we are true to ourselves while recognizing the harm that religion has done and continues to do, we must also recognize the possibility, the ways in which it has been used prophetically by people such as Gandhi and King and Barber and Theresa Harris and others. So it's a mixed bag for all. And just as people should say, well, I don't believe in politics because political systems are wrong, that doesn't mean that one cannot be a dedicated adherer to one political philosophy or not because of the harm that's done by any particular worldview. But
yeah, I agree with you. It is a mixed bag. And I have met good people who are Christian or say they're Christian and good people who are Buddhist and Baha'i and whatever, you know. And I understand that. I respect their right to believe as they wish to believe. But I just think that, I don't know, I just think that humanity needs to evolve beyond this God thing. And sure, we need to see that we have the potential. We, not the devil, not God, we are making the decisions that make this planet and our world the way it is. And
now that's not a good endorsement of humanity, because right about now, if you live in Oregon, we did not make it very comfortable for us today. But
you're
hear your point. I do hear your point.
Yeah. I mean, look at our history as a species, as a human species. and I mean all of us, black, white, Asian, whatever, we don't have the best of history the way we treat each other, even our own kind. I mean, we're bad, man. We're bad. But at the same time that we're bad, there's a lot of us who are good, a lot of us who are motivated by love in our hearts and that want to make a better world. I'm just afraid that we can't, we shouldn't, in my view only, in my view, we shouldn't be using God and religion as an excuse, even though I know for many people it might be all they have, but
at the same time, some people might saying that by focusing on humanity and on terms of all possibility, we don't have a good record whether we want to preface God or humanity. The challenge is, as you suggest, seeking the good and transforming it. Certainly those who are agnostic and atheists, as well as those who have religious, have a lot to be held accountable for, and that all of us are responsible for the
terrible world we have. And, you know, agnostics and atheists, they've done their share, too. You know, they're not
well, thank you, though, for your call, and I do want to keep the lines moving, but thank you for bringing up that we still need to look in and with each other to help elevate ourselves. You know, we still owe each other a debt of love, and I do appreciate you bringing that up. You are listening to More Talk Radio here on Your Community Connection, KBOO Portland. This is More Talk Radio. And Angeles Carey, what's your name, dear sir?
I think my parents, when I came out, my parents said that I am Cecil Charles Prescott.
All right. Well, we're going to roll like that. Oh, there we go. So I haven't heard anybody come up with any wonderful yarns beside my thing about the repentance statues yanking Trump into Stone Mountain hell or Stone Mountain, you know, negative dimension or what have you. But, you know, people have been having fun with the fact that, you know, there's supposed to be an actual gigantic asteroid headed our way for November 3rd. And I got a kick out of that. I just said, oh, that's going to be a big hoot. How are we going to celebrate that? And will it be something that will become like an international holiday or memorial? Will we have the asteroid didn't hit us doggone it day? Or will we have the asteroid didn't hit us hooray day? Or what are we going to say? But, you know,
No, I was going to say, well, maybe Bart, who's on the line, might have a response to that.
Okay.
Well, I'm not sure that my humor is entirely appropriate for airplay, but that occurrence, that issue is just wrought with lots of humorous possibilities, but I don't have one to throw at you right now. I don't have a good joke. I wish I did. I just haven't been able to wake up enough to make something happen in my head. But one of the things that is going on is that a lot of people are grasping at these dire aspects of daily life, and they're crumbling before the onslaught. And so just a little tagline is let's not fall into fear, let's lean into hope.
That's a good point. I really like what you said there, you know, because one of the things I've been doing is just staring fear in the face and saying, oh, you want to have a staring contest? Let's bring it. Because that's all, you know, most of us as kids, especially if we came from a big family, staring contest, we did. And and you know, and we do have to lean into hope and connect with each other, you know. you know, let people know that we care.
Well, and let people see, you know, hopefully exercise our own health and you know, mental outlook regimens that let us keep a clearer head, let us be grounded, let us look beyond the obvious and see that there's other forces and factors at work that are, you know, winding out to see what's going to come of this. And we make the world what we think it should be. I think that in many cases we project with our mind what we expect to happen, and the universe says, well, okay, if that's what you want, here it is. And mm-hmm. I mean, that's pretty simplistic, but really, you know, if you think about, oh, don't drop the ball, don't drop the ball, the ball's coming to me, don't drop the ball, you're going to drop the ball, you know.
Take
a look at it and say, okay, here it comes, how can I be ready? And breathe in and think that the outcome is going to tend toward the positive versus the negative, and you'd be surprised what a difference that can make just in mustering through life. You know, you think, oh, traffic's going to be really screwed up and I'm going to be late for my appointment. Well, guess what? Traffic's going to be really screwed up and you're going to be late for your appointment. But
yeah.
If you breathe a little, if you have an outlook that says, you know, hey, forces of the universe, help me out here, you know, and you project that in a humble and a thoughtful way, you know, if you cooperate with the forces that exist versus trying to overcome them, trying to exert power over gigantic things, you're not likely to be successful. But if
that
you
is,
say, you know, help
that
me
is
out,
definitely
help me
a way to look at it. You're right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's my two cents. I appreciate you being back on the air here. I welcome you, both of you, for bringing thoughtful info and directions forward and spreading them out for us to sample and enjoy. So,
well, thank you for your call.
Thank you for your kind words. And you are continuing to listen to More Talk Radio here on KBOO, and I have confirmed, I checked my ID, I am Cecil Prescott.
Well, I know I'm too low, Carrie, because I'm too tired to try to be anybody else. Yeah. Plus, I know me. I don't want any new problems. You know, one of the things I like about what our last caller was just saying is, you know, trying not to control. That's one of the things we were talking about at the top of the show. And also some positive self-talk. Now, people have heard me say, you know, I've wrangled with ADD for the past few years. It hit me really bad during a strong period of stress. And one of the things that I took out of some of the adult ADD classes I attended was, you know, to give myself, you know, a little, how do you put them, like reminders or information to keep up with things. And I had written in dry erase on my mirror so I could, you know, wipe it off and not get charged for it. In big letters, colorful letters, you know, good morning, you know, you got this, you know, and then the list of what I was supposed to do, and then ended up with you got this. And you do have to visualize, you know, yourself as successful, because if nothing else, it's giving you an internal to-do list of positivity, of what you can achieve. If you can imagine it, you can achieve it. And if you see yourself as being successful, you're going to emulate that. You're going to fake it till you make it, you know. And that's part of this thing that we need to do to build some mental resiliency, is to rehearse. You know, but success is not in a vacuum. You also got to rehearse and practice empathy and love for those outside of yourself, because we're not going to make this by ourselves. This is a team effort.
Very, very true. Let's see, we have a few minutes left. Let's see what Robbie has to say. Good morning, Robbie.
Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, I just wanted to bring up, I thought this is a really, this one hit pretty close. I liked what you were talking about today. I think it was about last week. I hit a really hard wall with my depression and paranoia and everything that's kind of going on. I lost some friends and going through a breakup and all sorts of stuff. It's just been, you know, it's been really rough. But one thing that I wanted to say is that I find when I can help people, oftentimes the communities that I'm involved with that I'm able to offer help and support with, that's really helped me go forward. And I just wanted to comment one last thing. We were talking about the apocalypse so much. The word apocalypse doesn't, it's not derived from the Bible. It was just used in the Bible. And the word actually is from Greek, and it means lifting of the veil. So at this time where I understand how, you know, oppressive religion is and how it's, it can really hurt people, I also think that it has helped people too. And so I think when his point, I get his point, but I think in this particular instance, the term apocalypse, lifting of the veil, is something that needs to happen, you know, because basically what that means is exposing the truth, you know, exposing the truth of the power structures and how, you know, weak they may be, or, you know, whatever it may be that we need to see as a society that right now has been hidden from us through these power structures. So I do believe that, you know, the word apocalypse isn't, I don't know what he was trying to say, you know, in the term of that, but I do understand how religion can be used as a tool for control. But yeah. I think if we understood more or less what it is, we wouldn't be so afraid. Anyway, that's all I wanted to comment on.
Well, thank you, because, you know, that was our point, too. And I, you know, I'm sorry to hear you've been going through a lot of stuff, because people sometimes forget, outside of this spate of strangeness we're going through, we still having life hit us, and we lose loved ones, we lose jobs, we lose our homes, and those things are still hitting us. And so, you know, I extend my, you know, condolences and sending prayers and good wishes and energy to you. You know, you have my heart there. Cecil, you were trying to say something.
Yeah, I think it's helpful in terms of his unveiling the meaning of apocalypse. But also in terms of what's happening, in terms of this is an apocalyptic moment. You know, we've gained new awareness of the racial justice movement. The impact of climate change, as we think about all that's going on with the hurricanes and the wildfires, this is an unveiling in the purest sense of the word of apocalypse, and it's maybe a moment of a term that's often used in religious language, but also in political language. It's an opportunity for awakening. So in this moment when we are reaping what we sow in terms of how we are destroying the world and one another, it may be also a moment of opportunity for us to build, help create a better world.
Indeed. You know, I think one comical or humorous application of unveiling would be this quote here, and see if you can identify it. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. From The Wizard of Oz. And then there's an unveiling, which would be like, you know, the emperor's new clothes, when the emperor is walking out there stark naked and, well, in this case, bald. you know, and without orange application, you know, you see things as they really are. You know, people could say, well, here's a humorous application. If Trump doesn't have that orange bronzer on, you know, he wouldn't be able to stand the light of day. He'd melt away. He's his skin needs that protection. But, right. You know, the Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. So I just want to thank all of you all for listening and participating this morning as we try to bring a different
an apocalypse.
Apocalypse, right. And for those of you who are hearing us live on Monday morning, September 14th, stay tuned to the Omo Variety Hour. You will hear an interview with Barbara Ford, a clinical social worker and climate justice activist, about radical hope in the face of climate collapse and wildfires consuming the West, and also a conversation with journalist writer Lisa Loving about her book, Street Journalists Understand and Report the News in Your Community. All of this can be heard here on your community radio station, KBOO FM.
Amen. Catch you next week.
Thanks for listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM in the Portland metro area and all over the world at kbu.fm. This boy got it so bad, he said.